Afternoon, everybody. I'm going to talk about data from a long-term fertilisation experiment that we've been conducting in Panama in lowland tropical rainforest. This is an experiment run and established by Joe Wright, my colleague in Panama, but also with a whole range of other collaborators who aren't mentioned on this presentation. People like Joe Yavitt, Cornell, and Kyle Harms in Louisiana. So there's a lot of other people involved in this project. There's real interest in the nutrient status of tropical rainforests historically, and especially now with all the talk about responses of tropical rainforests to CO2 fertilisation and whether nutrient availability may limit this response. So there's a lot of interest, but it's really almost verging on dogma that tropical rainforest productivity is limited by phosphorus availability. This is a really widely held belief. This is stemmed from the fact that tropical forests often occur on very strongly weathered old soils. They're typically low in available phosphate, and leaf tissue typically has wide N:P ratio. So there's a perception that tropical forests are limited by phosphorus availability. At the same time, there's a perception that nitrogen occurs in abundance in lowland forests, and this perhaps stems from the fact that concentrations of inorganic nitrogen in KCl extracts, this kind of thing, are usually quite high in tropical forests, though I suspect this is an artifact of the procedure that's used. And also, we have this paradox of the abundance of legumes in lowland forests. We find many, many species of legumes doing very well, often the dominant components of the canopy. So this is kind of incompatible with this idea that nitrogen is relatively abundant in lowland forests. And the other thing that may maybe limit productivity is base cations. And often we find very low concentrations of base cations in some regions, such as the Amazon basin. But there's no real direct evidence of these low concentrations influencing productivity. And actually, there's very few direct tests, very little direct evidence of nutrient limitation in lowland tropical forests. And by that, I mean fertilisation experiments, where you just add nutrients and see what the response of the forest is. In fact, we've only managed to find three previous experiments in mature lowland forest. Here they are in this table. And they're characterised by very short timescales of fertilisation, the longest being 4 years. They're in very few locations around the world, one in Panama, one in Africa, one in Southeast Asia. And by and large, the major response has been very little. And in fact, only the Memanto study in Borneo found a positive response, an increase in fine litter productivity, fine litter production with both nitrogen and phosphorus addition. So this idea that phosphorus limits productivity in lowland forests and nitrogen is very abundant really isn't based on any direct evidence, or a very small amount of direct evidence, which is equivocal. So we've been conducting an experiment in lowland tropical forest in Panama, and this is a photo of one of our sites. This is Barro Colorado Island in central Panama, and you can see the Smithsonian Laboratories there in the centre of the photo. This is mature. This particular bit of forest is mature secondary forest, more than 200 years old. It's wet, 2.5 metres of rainfall, and a stable annual temperature of 26 degrees centigrade, which is about 79 Fahrenheit. Just in case anyone isn't absolutely certain where Panama is, it's just this little bit here linking the continents, but incredibly important down there in the tropics. So the site that we've been working on and conducted this experiment on is on oxysols. You can see Ellis Benham there from the USDA, who's been down helping us with some of our soil classifications in Panama. We have a whole range of different soils in Panama because of the complex geology in this area. This particular site is on oxysols. It's developed in basalt, Miocene basalt, moderately acidic and characterized by extremely low available phosphate concentrations, much less than 1 milligram per kilogram. These are deep oxysols, several meters deep. And the experiment is a factorial nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium experiment with a separate micronutrient treatment. The plots are 40 by 40 metres squared, and there's four replicates of each treatment. The experiment was started in 1998, so this year we're just about to fertilise in November, the fourth. We apply fertiliser four times a year in the wet season. It's about to be the end of the 13th year this year, so this is a long-term experiment. You can see the annual rates of fertiliser there, 125 kilograms of N, 50 kilograms of phosphorus and 50 kilograms of potassium. And we measure all sorts of variables related to productivity, fine litter production, separated into various fractions, reproductive litter, leaf litter, twigs. Also, we measure trunk growth on all trees, all stems bigger than 1 centimetre diameter at breast height, and root biomass as well. And in the soils, again, we measure a whole series of properties, obviously nutrients, but also things like organic carbon, microbial biomass and enzymes, biochemical properties. So we have a whole suite of soil measurements being made at the same time. So the first thing is to show you some nutrient concentrations to convince you that our treatments have worked. And you can see nitrate, phosphate and potassium concentrations. The left-hand bar in each graph is the control, or the plots that don't receive that element, and the bars on the right are the plots which do receive that element. So you can see an increase in N, P and K in all the treatments, most pronounced in the phosphorus treatment. We've increased phosphorus, available phosphorus, from less than 1 part per million to more than 30 parts per million, a real big increase. But for nitrogen and for nitrate and potassium, about a doubling of the respective elements. And this is not the whole story. There's some significant interactions going on, and I'll just put two of the most significant ones here. There's a definite NP interaction in terms of nitrogen availability. So where we add phosphorus with nitrogen, then nitrogen availability is in the soil, or available nitrogen concentrations in the soil decreases. And where we had nitrogen and potassium together, potassium concentrations decrease. And this is particularly relevant in terms of the productivity data, which I'll show you in a few slides' time. But we think this is due to this effect on pH. So, of course, wherever we've added nitrogen to all the nitrogen plots, there's a real decline in pH. So we've gone from about 5.2 in control soils or soils which don't receive nitrogen down to about 4.5, 4.6 in soils which have received nitrogen. And this is after 10 years of nutrient additions. And where the pH has declined, and there's a parallel decline in base cations, calcium, magnesium and potassium, and also an increase in extractable aluminium. So these things need to be borne in mind as we look at some of the productivity data. And I mentioned we measure a whole series of soil properties, and I don't have time today to go into these in detail, but I've just listed some of the interesting things which we found. We just heard about microbial phosphorus limitation or nitrogen limitation of microbial biomass, and we find strong evidence for phosphorus limitation of microbial nitrogen acquisition, but all sorts of other things. And if anyone's really interested in anything, then I'd be very happy to show you data and talk about these things later. But I want to talk about the productivity. This is what I really want to talk about. And the first thing to mention is that this experiment set against a background of worldwide declines in tree growth in tropical forests. And I just put up some data from two sites, the site in Panama that I showed you earlier, and also one of our sites in Malaysia near Kuala Lumpur. And we found this in tropical forests worldwide, that growth rates are declining. They've been declining over the last at least 25 years in Panama. And this goes against this idea that CO2 concentrations should be enhancing growth rates of lowland tropical forests. We just don't see that. So there's this background of declining growth rates around the world. And we find the same thing in this experiment. You can see this is small trees, so three size classes of small trees, less than 10 centimetres diameter at breast height. The light bars are growth rates between our first census in 1997, before we started fertilisation, and a recensus in 2000. The darker bars are the growth rates between 2000 and the most recent census, which was in 2008. So in all cases, you can see a clear decline in relative growth rate. So we assess our fertilisation effects by whether fertilizer ameliorated the decline in growth. So what you can see here for the small trees, for the small size classes of trees, is a significant N plus K interaction. So not a nitrogen effect, not a potassium effect, but where NK is added together, we find a significant amelioration of the decline in growth rates for small trees. So that's the first thing, which bear in mind the NK interaction in terms of potassium availability as well. For large trees, again, we see this decline in growth rates between the two census intervals. There's two effects of fertilization. The first, again, is a significant nitrogen by potassium, nitrogen plus potassium effect. So this ameliorates the decline in growth. That's shown in panel B there. Panel A, by the way, just shows the each treatment separately. Panel B shows the significant NK interaction. But we also find a significant phosphorus effect, and that's shown in panel C on the far right. So we find a strongly significant effect of phosphorus addition on the growth of large trees. So phosphorus addition ameliorates the decline in growth rate of large trees, bigger than 10 centimetres dBH. What about fine litter production? Well, in this case, we have really increased the concentrations of N, P and K in the respective treatments. You can see the mean increases there, 7% for nitrogen, 27% for phosphorus, and 16% for potassium. We find similar changes in live leaves as well. Those values are for litter. But there's a very clear phosphorus effect. On total fine litter production, it's marginally significant, 0.058. But this is a 25% increase in fine litter production in these forests, and also for the different components of fine litter. So you can see leaves in panel B and reproductive structures. A very strong effect on reproductive structures, very strong effect of phosphorus on reproductive structures, which we might expect given the investment in phosphorus there. So really strong effects of phosphorus on fine litter. And finally, root biomass. This is for the surface soils. This was one of the first really clear effects that we had of fertilization. After just a few years, we saw a very strong effect of potassium. So wherever we had potassium, there's a real decline in fine root biomass. So a real strong decline, and also a marginally significant nitrogen by potassium effect as well. But a very strong effect on fine root growth there. Or fine root biomass, I should say. So that's it. Just to summarise again, the effects of this experiment in mature lowland tropical forests, we find different things affecting different aspects of productivity. So a significant nitrogen by potassium effect on small trees, a phosphorus effect on large trees, fine root biomass, strongly affected by potassium, and fine litter production, strongly influenced by phosphorus. So the conclusion that we've come to is that no single element limits productivity really in this lowland tropical forest. And I would stress that this is just a single site, and it's kind of broadly representative of lowland tropical forest soils in Panama. But there's also many different kinds of soils in a very small area, and I would really stress that this is just a single experiment. But it does seem to indicate that more than just phosphorus might be important in these lowland forests. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Time for questions?
I have two questions. First, there's no forest floor.
Oh.
In that picture.
No, that's right. That's actually, we have a separate experiment which this photograph's taken in. And when I talk about that experiment, I always put this picture up and ask people what's different about this forest, and no one can ever see what it is. So I'm really impressed that you spotted it straight away. You may see a pile of leaves in the middle there with a rake. So this is a litter manipulation experiment which we have around the fertilization experiment. It's not been running for as long. It's been going about 8 years now, maybe, where basically we have similar sized plots, but we rake the leaves off the floor and move the litter onto other plots. So we have litter addition and litter removal plots. This is a whole other story, and it's actually very interesting. It complements really nicely the mineral fertilizer addition, because in effect we're adding nutrients to the forest in a form which the forest is used to processing. So there's some kind of parallels, but also some real differences in that experiment. But maybe
second question.
Yes.
What's the mechanism for potassium decreasing root biomass?
I really don't know. I mean, we assume that you know, that a lot of that fine root growth is in search of potassium. So wherever potassium's added, they satisfy their potassium demands, and then they grow less roots. But that's as far as I could speculate. I mean, I think it was really unexpected. It was the first thing that showed up, you know, a few years after the initiation of that experiment. So it was a really clear and strong effect.
But it probably makes sense if you look at the data. KLL really didn't change your fine roots. It wasn't until you added NP and K.
Absolutely, yeah.
Clear the nutrient limitations, and all of a sudden you got a change in carbon allocation, probably biomass allocation. You already showed better above ground growth, and you're seeing that shift
yep.
from above ground to low ground. And particularly, that's where we see it always in fine roots more than anything else, is that shift away from fine root.
Yeah, so that makes sense, yeah.
Thank you.
Brilliant.